Hello everyone, this is Daniel here, and today I'm with Dinos, the COO and director of Eltner. How are you, Dinos?
Good morning, Daniel. How are you? I'm fine.
I'm doing fabulous. I have to thank you on a personal note that you allowed me to skip your last name because I couldn't pronounce it for the life of me.
Let me try to help you. My last name is Stranomitis, is a long Greek name, which makes no difference in my opinion to the industry. You know, everyone knows me as Dinos, that's enough. It's probably, I feel, to be honest, very good that everyone knows me with my short name. That's it.
Yeah, well, it's like a brand. It's like a brand name, kind of. You know, Oprah, Jesus, Dinos. So,
well,
you
don't
know,
go that far. I think it's a bit of a hybris if we go that bad. Don't go that far. It's okay. It's just a simple name. That's all.
But it's a brand name per se.
Well, it depends how you say it. You know, I had to make a tremendous effort to get rid of that brand name. You know, over the years, you know, more important is that the audience knows the company name, not my name.
Yes.
That's it.
Though I have to say, you know, the podcast is called The Business Leader's Stories because I believe that the people, the business people behind the brand who are the ones who are making it happen eventually.
Obviously, you know, so, it's always the people make the difference. You know, the software or the machines doesn't make anything, really.
That's
it's
correct.
All about people. That's all.
Correct.
And this is a philosophy. This is a concept. It's the way you approach everything in life.
Can you elaborate on this?
Yeah,
it's interesting.
For me, all it matters is how you communicate with the other people. It does not really make any difference what is the actual technical situation. It always makes a difference how people understand each other. And if they understand each other in a way that you know what is necessary for the business, then you can deliver that particular necessities so the both parties can cooperate and create a success. So it's all about people understanding each other.
Interesting.
Yes.
Very interesting.
This is very simple as that. I mean, everyone who is listening now, I say, is just so, so simple. When you talk to someone, do you understand him? Do you really know and understand what he say to the essence? I mean, go deep. And if you understand, then continue. If not, just get out of the discussion. It does not make any difference. You're wasting your time. That's all.
That's completely correct. May I ask you for how many years you've been in the industry?
Well, that's an interesting discussion again. I remember that I wanted to enter a little bit of understand what is sports betting about, about early 2000, in the March 2000. Yes, that was, internet was still in the beginning, only 5 years available to the public. I say, okay, let's make a website. Let's try to create some statistics. Let's try to understand if 150 they offering me, is it a good price or it's not a good price? Still, people don't understand if it's a good price. So that was my effort in the beginning. And then, well, I am an engineer by profession. I'm a naval architect and marine engineer. Very classic approach, very classic science. Nothing to do with this, the internet. Well, not so, nothing. Everything has to do with internet these days, but that's another story. I think that then at some point I say, I like that. I really like to understand when two teams playing, what's the probabilities for a team to win. And all the effort goes to find what's the correct probability. And then it was in 2003 that was a company say, do you want to work in sports betting? I say, no. Why should I? I mean, I have a good job. I'm an engineer. Why should I go to some industry that no one knows about? And let's be honest, you know, sports betting or the gambling industry, it's not the gaming industry, it's a gambling industry, but many people try to sort this out. The gambling industry is not so welcome yet.
Yes.
In the, let's say, in the wide audience. That's what I think. So 2003, they told me, you want to work? Say no. Say, well, you know, you are good. Maybe you would consider. Say, do you accept to work remote? I said, they told me yes. And then I spoke to my people, say, should we try? So we tried. In 2003, I quit my engineering job and I start be a trader in a big Scandinavian company at that time.
So it's been 20 years, actually.
It's been almost, yeah, 20 years, more than 20 years now. Yes, more than 20 years.
Wow. Exciting.
Well,
exciting.
Some other people say that's not necessarily too much. I'm planning to be here for another 30 years.
Oh, wow. I like it. I like it that you have a vision. That...
Yeah, well, we are here to stay.
Yeah, most definitely.
We're here to stay. That's it. You know, I like this industry. That's all. You know, it gives a lot of opportunities for young people, for old people, for everyone. It gives opportunities.
I have so many questions to ask
Let's
you.
Go.
I like it that everything that you say is like an open door to like thousands of questions. But I want to start with the topic that we just went over.
Yes.
About communication.
Yes.
Because obviously, as you said, you've been more than 20 years in this industry.
Yeah.
And you got into senior positions. And, you know, I like it when people say it's all about communication. You need to really understand to the essence what the other person is telling you, what does he want, and so on and so forth.
Correct.
I want to ask you how you, as a business leader, in a conversation, whether it's a business conversation
yes.
or a personal conversation, how do you personally make sure you understand the essence of what the other person is
that
saying?
That is very simple. Very simple rules in life. You need to listen. Always make a step back and listen what the other side tells you. You know what is the modern problem, in my opinion, of communication is that when someone talks, the people think what they say next. They never step back and listen. Don't prepare what you're going to say next. You know, I have seen in many, many meetings, people, they do not listen. In the meantime, they remain silent and they prepare what to say next. This is a recipe of failure. Avoid it. Just listen. And if you have nothing to say after that, don't say nothing. Listen again. Trust me, you sell more if you don't say anything.
Wow. That's so insightful because, you know, we live in a society when we are being designed or encouraged to come to every conversation with a prepared pitch, kind of. Like, I know what I'm going to say. I'm going to say it that way. I'm going to make a bold statement about this topic, that topic. And we are never encouraged to actually listen.
Correct.
And actually be there, be in the here, be in the now.
Yes.
And only after we fully listened and understood everything and allowed the other person to communicate everything that they wanted, only then to come with our response.
Absolutely. If you don't have to say anything, don't say anything. And you know where I say all these panels, more likely, no one is listening what you say. Small percentage is listening. And if you listen, you make good business. Why? Simple. You listen what the other side needs. And if you deliver that product, they will buy from you. If you just want to sell your product as you have designed without listening anyone, more likely it won't be so useful.
Yes.
Simple.
That's correct.
Simple. I have many stories around that.
Okay, can you share with us your best story?
Well, there is no best story. Every story is unique, I say. But, I remember it was 2015 and there is a person that we speak over Skype. He was in Colombia, my friend Lorenzo. He was in Colombia. Say, Dinos, come to Colombia to talk. Because we couldn't speak. You know, he was speaking Spanish, I was speaking English. We had a translator in between who was a bad translator also.
Oh.
Yes, that's right. So I went
there. He wasn't listening for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So it was a broken conversation, more or less. You know, I have been in many meetings like that anyway. But I say, okay, I went to Bogota and I listened to him for 3 days. I understood what he wants. I came back and say, guys, this is what they need in that particular region in the world.
Hmm.
Do we do it? We do it. We did it. And we were the first company working in Colombia with sportsbook with tremendous success.
Wow.
Simple. Simple. And then Altenar became, the company entering the first Latin American regulated market. Simple. Why? Listen, for 3 days.
Wow. I love it that you came with no agenda, actually, other than listening.
Listening. Of course. I mean, go there and listen. What the other side can tell you. The fact that the other side is prepared to invest time on you, it's still good enough. To prepare an agenda is only for you to remember what topics you need to talk, nothing else.
Yes.
This is, the highly political approach of this is what I'm going to discuss, this is what I'm not going to discuss. That's not for modern business, in my opinion.
Mm.
That's very old style, political.
So when you come to a conversation, to a business meeting per se,
yes,
how do you approach it? Do you have an agenda? You come up with an agenda or let the conversation
Is always an objective at the end of the day.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't came here to say, guys, delete all the agendas. That's not the way. No. Don't get me wrong, guys. The agenda is still good to remember what is a good way forward. But the actual topics needs to be adjusted. You go to the meeting with a particular strategic scopes. That's it.
Yes.
I have a meeting at 4 p.m. today. Of course, I know what I'm looking for. I want to close a deal. But the most important is I invite the other party because I know they have made an internal meeting first to listen to him. It could be that after what he tells me, maybe my objective is not met. Maybe my target will not meet. You need to adjust your targets after you get the input.
Mm.
You have to be fast. More likely in this world, when you listen to things that you don't like. More likely. You know, because you have prepared the perfect story in your mind. And 99.9%, the story you listen is not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
How flexible you are to adjust your mind in 10 seconds. Most of the people are not flexible. The first answer should be always good. You should never go back with a negative approach.
Go back to the other person in the conversation.
99.9%, you will never listen what you want to listen. This not only with business. It has to do with your family, with your friends, with your girlfriend, with your boyfriend, with everyone. 99.9%, you don't listen what you want to listen.
I have to say that I'm talking to you and I feel as am I talking to a spiritual leader almost. Like you seem to be so insightful about everything that has to do with human communication that, you know, it's a whole different sphere per se.
Of course. I mean, I came here to say that our product is good. Our product is good for the ones they know how to use it.
Yes.
For the ones that they don't know how to use it, it's crap. I mean, you buy a Mercedes, a Volkswagen, a Skoda, any car. Any car is good for the one who knows how to drive it.
Mm-hmm.
Depends what you need. You need an off-road track. You need a speedy car. What do you need?
Understand that. And I want to ask you, because that's something that I personally struggle with, and I guess that many business leaders as well. When you say that you listen to something that you don't like, because that's the reality,
you'll
be being told things that you don't like, how do you hold yourself back from striking back?
Keep listening.
But do you relax your body? Do you tell yourself any affirmation? Do you, what do you actually do when you feel the upsetness and the anger and everything
go to the meeting inside of you? How to say, you know, that's a friend of mine, psychiatrist, told me, you know, the anger is like a wave. If you don't go over that, you more likely get sunk into the sea. You will be dead. So you have to go over your anger. You have to go over what you don't like. You need to be prepared. You go to the meeting, keep low profile, low expectations. Listen, 99.9% the story you have expected to listen is not there.
Yes.
However, 99.9% many elements of the story is there, are there. It's very
unlikely. The potential
unlikely,
for them.
Yes. It's very unlikely you have complete disconnection. Don't exclude it, but it's very unlikely you have a complete disconnection. It happened to me that someone came to the meeting, said, Dino, sorry, but we cannot cooperate, period. That's a complete disconnection.
Mm.
Period. And whatever you try, nothing. Doesn't work. That happens. It's probably better than nothing. You know, it's at least you know that you don't have to waste more of your time on this particular project. But most of the cases, many elements of the story are there. And you need to capitalize on what you agree. At the end of the day, you have to sell what you have. You cannot sell what you don't have.
True.
So you capitalize on what you agree, and then you have to explain, or you need to understand and make what we call it, you know, in this famous corporate world, gap analysis.
Yes.
Well, this is the how you bring forward the gap analysis. It should not look the most important point in the world. The most important point in the world during discussion, business discussion, is the common elements. Mm.
To find the connections.
The connections. That's it. Find the connections and then make the gap analysis. Listen to the other party again. How, why they want. There is, let me give you another important point. Everyone, no exceptions, comes to the discussion with his own solution without describing the problem. But in almost 99.9% of the cases, there is not just one solution. So when you describe solution, better you describe the problem first. Describe the problem, listen to the other party before you come with a proposed solution. Sometimes the other party may have a solution that is easier for you.
Mm.
You don't have to describe solution yourself first. Not necessary.
I love it. It's like you let the ball roll onto the other person's field.
Yes.
And make them do the analysis per se and come up with a solution.
The success of the business is mostly consisted from points that are built during people's discussions. If you go to dictate the discussion, more likely you are in a dominant position, and more likely it's something that will happen because of your size. But the real success, and you change, let's say, how to say, you change level, you're going a level up. If you are dealing with parties that you have both to benefit and you have both to listen. Anyway, and this is not only for sale, for to sell. This is how you make the internal operations, how you improve, how different departments interact. You know, inside your business, you have different departments. Does one department knows what is the job and the issues the other department facing? More likely, most of the companies, they don't spend time on that because they consider this counterproductive. Every Friday, well, Friday depends which culture, of course, we're talking.
Yes.
It's not Friday, the Friday we consider in Europe, for example, in all areas. But every Friday afternoon, I always spend time to speak to other departments. Speak to other departments. Go there, have a visit, understand, and I advise the managers of departments, say, guys, spend time with the other departments, not with your department. With your department.
What is it allowing you to gain?
Sorry?
I'm asking, what is it allowing you to gain by doing so?
It does not make any benefit if you know who are you in an endless universe. It makes a big difference to know who are you in a society.
Mm.
What the society believes about you. The society are the departments. You have your own opinion about yourself in an empty universe. And this is what it counts. But the universe is never empty. The universe is consistent of many other people that they have opinion about you. The opinion they have about you is more important than the opinion you have about yourself.
Most definitely.
So if you understand how other departments see your department, you can only improve your department. Okay?
That's amazing.
It's very simple, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Does it really matter, Daniel, what you think about yourself?
No, it doesn't matter because I only interact with other people.
Maybe
so.
I depreciate a bit, but it really matters. But in reality, you will have success if other people consider you a very good. So more important is you make the effort that the others see you as a proper person to do business than what you see yourself.
That's completely correct. And it leads me up to another question that I usually ask towards the end of the episode, but everything got so deep with you so quickly.
Let's go.
And now I understand why I got recommended to have you on the show by so many interviewees that went on the show. Like, I think it was like 3 or 4 people that I asked them at the end of the interview, who should I interview next? And 3 or 4 of them pointed to you. So now I understand the hype.
Okay. Interesting. Anyway. Interesting. I have some good friends, it's true. They're working for me, you know.
Working for you and working with you and colleagues and stuff like that. So,
okay.
If I'll go up to your employees.
Yes.
And I'll ask them, what do you think about Dinos? What will they say?
It's not so important for me to know, to be honest. And it's not important for me to say my opinion, what they would say. It's more important you ask them, to be honest. But I want to believe really that they see me as their assistant. My approach, again, is simple. I want to solve the problems of my employees. I believe that all the employees we have should be able to get decisions. And I need to facilitate those decisions. If they come to me that I have to take all the decisions, we never make things on time.
Mm.
It's a waste of momentum. Every single department, every single employee should be able to get a decision. Simple as that. And I hope that they see me as a valuable assistant that is clearing the way for them to get a decision.
I think that's very much true. And I also think that it is important for an employee to be able to make a decision.
Yes.
Because otherwise they don't feel as anything that they do
yes.
has or think, for example, have an impact. You see, like if you're just a little person in your very little wheel and you have no control and nothing that you do has any sort of impact, it's worth nothing. But when your boss, your employer gives you the autonomy to make decisions, to think by yourself, to yes. be creative, it allows you to develop as a person and to be more invested in the organization, because unfortunately, there are not many organizations who really allow their employees to make decisions, be creative, and you know, be impactful and not just be a placeholder for the function that they were hired to do.
But this is very simple rule again. The person who is dealing with the seat every day is the customer service person. And this is the best person to know how to get out of the seat. The customer, what we call, let's say, business support we have in our company, because mm-hmm. we support businesses, is yes. maybe, in a way, the lowest, let's say, level in the organization chart. Mm-hmm. They are allowed, they are encouraged to get decisions, and their managers are obliged to support that decision.
Mm.
They are obliged to support that decision.
How does it look like?
It's simple. The business support guy has a problem 3 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
3 o'clock at night, more likely you will never find the right person to consult.
Yes.
At that moment, if you let the item pending without any decision, it will not look good to the customer.
Correct.
It will look much better if the person gets a decision. Next morning, a decision was taken at 3 o'clock in the morning. Next morning,
turns out to be a bad decision.
Does not really matter. A decision is always a good decision.
Yes.
We will come to that. But
yes, okay.
Next morning, the business support guy say, 3 o'clock, I got a decision. That is. And I need your help to make it reality, to make it true, to make it happen. His manager is obliged to follow that decision. Decision is taken. Period. The customer knows that. If we have to go back, it has to be for a very valid reason, and this eventually can destroy a relationship with the customer.
Mm.
More often, what happens, if the guys know that they have to get decisions, they are more responsible. They make sure that whoever is available 3 o'clock in the morning is consulted. In the event that they feel that the decision can impact the company in a high level, they can start making calls.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to pick it up. And we have to talk on the phone for 5 minutes. And then the decision can be collective.
Mm-hmm.
Simple, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
The only thing you need to make sure that everyone feels comfortable to pick up the phone. And this comes back to the communication. Pick up the phone.
And listen.
And listen. What happened? This has happened. What to do? Usually more of the case, I say, guys, okay, what do you recommend? Especially at 3 o'clock at night, I have no clue what to advise, you know? I have no clue. Honestly. If someone say that you have a clue, no. Say, someone describes an incident, and then I say, okay, what do you recommend? And most of the times, it's a good recommendation. Isn't it?
Yes.
It is.
You know, I'm talking to you and you seem to be such an inspirational leader, and I'm pretty sure that your employees are being inspired by you and coached by you daily. And I'm curious to ask you which, but I don't know if which is the right word here. Uh-huh. Grammar is a mess sometimes. But which boss that you had over the years impacted you the most and why?
Oof. Well, what is true is that positive or negative.
Oh, wow.
Any boss.
Can I take them both?
Yes. Well, positive or negative, you have, let's say, really... You know, you always battle in between positive and negative experiences. This is life.
Yes.
This is life. We wish to have all positive, but it's not the reality, unfortunately. So, which boss? No, well, I think it's a cultural again. To be honest, I think that I was given great chances in particular company. It's not necessary to say the name.
Yeah, sure.
But the culture was Scandinavian. And I have to say that I admire that Scandinavian society gives chances. And in my opinion, because they have the human element in front of everything, I think that they can qualify as great bosses.
Mm. Because they see you as a person.
Yes.
First of all.
They see you as a person with weaknesses, and they can understand that you cannot always be top performer.
Mm.
And they give you a chance of what they believe you can make and not what you look like.
Mm.
I think they give you a chance. If I need to say... how you do it? When we agree, Daniel, when we agree, everything is fine. The moment we disagree, the way we handle our disagreement mm-hmm. is distinguishing our culture.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I need to say, people don't know how to disagree. Some of them become very aggressive. They start not coming to the meetings, not picking up the calls, answering in a very impolite way.
Yes.
I need to say, I have to give credit that, of course, without discriminating, I think the Scandinavian mentality knows how to disagree in a better way comparing to other cultures. I would not describe what I think is the worst culture, because then we go crazy in this podcast. But if we want to make enemies, I'm pretty sure I can have a few if you need. You know. Yeah, that's how I see.
So it's not a particular boss. It's more of a cultural thing.
I think so. I think, yes.
That taught you really to look at people as an ever-evolving and to see the potential in them and not to judge them based on what they're doing right now, but based on what they are capable of.
Uh-huh.
And also to stay present even in the midst of a disagreement or a failure per se, and to see how you can pick up the phone, listen, email correctly, you know, uh-huh. in a positive, supporting way
uh-huh.
to sort out the issues and to get the best solution.
Yes.
And the worst thing, if I understand correctly, is to take a step back and close your heart, close yes. your mind, and not participate
yes.
in the conversation because you feel as you are threatened and as if you did something that is unfixable, and unfixable not by the damage that it's done, but in the conversation. It cannot be negotiated per se with the other party.
In my opinion, yeah, that's actually is cultural again. Without making, please don't make any connections to reality. A war does not help any side.
Mm.
Does not help any side, the war. Eventually, maybe there is sides that can be destroyed more. But there is no benefit during a war. Between two people, between two companies, between two departments, at the end of the day, you just know that the moment that the war starts, one has to go.
Yes.
And it's a matter of time. That's it. Simple.
That's correct.
Anyway, it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is.
It is what it is. And you know, I have to respect also some cultures that they, you know, they qualify a more aggressive approach. I have to say that I'm from Greece. I don't think Greeks are so good in reputation of doing business in the right way. I'm living outside of Greece almost now 24 years. I believe that, my compatriots will disagree with me, but we are a bit aggressive and that's not a good element. That's it.
When you say aggressive, how does it come about in business?
Aggressive is you just qualify a very specific opinion with words that the other side maybe is not prepared to listen. You qualify an opinion very direct.
I get it.
In a way that, you know, the other side is not ready to listen, is not ready, you know. Let's see, when you interact with someone, usually you try to be polite.
Not being harsh.
Yes. In some cultures, this is not so important. But it is important to be polite. It is important to be polite. If you want to be successful, if you want to be successful, you have to bring your point forward in a polite way.
So basically, you changed your managerial leadership style from the Greek culture to all the other cultures that you were exposed to in your business career.
Well, Daniel, I was very bad. I was really, really bad. Now, maybe just had some qualifications in terms of understanding physics, chemistry, or mathematics. But this, other than that, I was very, very bad. That's all. You know, I don't see also say people have talent. No. Well, everyone has talent, but the question is how you cultivate it.
Yes.
How you learn to implement it, how you bring it forward. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we talked a minute ago about harsh.
Yes.
So I want to ask you, what was the harshest or the most difficult business decision you had to make in your business career?
The most difficult business decision I ever took was that I remember 2007, I became a manager, a director in a company with a department of 60 people. And they asked me to cut cost, which means I had to fire 15, 20 people.
Wow.
That's not a good thing to do.
No.
But you are obliged to do such things for the remaining team to survive. That was the most difficult. I think that my hair became white since that moment. Yes, if I need to say. I did it. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. And I did a very simple, again, approach. I consult the three older members of the team to get their opinion. So I really asked help from my, let's say, direct reports, if I have to say.
And how did you handle it?
You have to go through the tough path. I had to take in account social criteria, business criteria, you have to take in account that, you know, if this is what we need to do in order to survive, then we have to do it. At the end of the day, I found out that if you don't do anything, more likely all the boat will go down to the sea.
Yes.
So if the boat has to continue without a percentage in order to keep afloat, you have to do it. You are obliged to do it. If you are a good captain, you have to listen to the audience how it's best to do it. You know, at the end of the day, if what remains to be successful, it has to be a solid team.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just format the team and it's not solid after any exercise, doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work. The team, not yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't keep your friends. Keep a team that can be friends.
Oh, wow. I like it.
Yes.
That's a really good quote.
Yes.
Don't, for the podcast.
You know, as I always say, you know, at least in Altenar, I never recruit my friends and my relatives. Never. Never. I want the guys to be friends, but they have to recruit their friends, not my friends.
So, like, people who work for you, they can recruit their own friends.
If they want to recommend their friends, it's fine.
Yes.
It's fine. I do not allow myself to recruit my friends and my relatives.
And why so? Why doing this differentiation between yourself and
people who
work for
you? Simply because I don't want myself to feel obliged if I have to disagree with them.
Mm. I get it.
If I have a friend, he's my friend. I don't think that we should work together.
Mm. So you keep those two separate?
I think so.
Yes.
It's best. I have made friends through my job, but not the opposite.
Mm. We talked a bit about the toughest decision that you had to make.
Yes.
And now let's talk about what was the best decision.
The best decision I ever made was to agree with my existing partners to go together. With my existing partners in Altenar, we found each other by coincidence.
Oh, sounds like a good story. I'm ready for it.
Yes, well, it's a long story. With some...
Oh, we have like 20 minutes, so I think it's fine.
You know, we met by coincidence. There was a business that we worked together, but we did not know that we worked together.
Mm.
We were servicing common customers without knowing each other.
Mm.
And at some point, we say, okay, if we do it in this way, why we do not just formulate, incorporate a single entity? I mean, my expertise was mainly to provide services in terms of trading, risk management, sales, support. And my partners mainly doing software. Even they had created, and eventually some, they made an investment in that particular region as well. So it was a point, say, let's get together to service a customer. The details are not so important. And in a business, you know, I remember again that when my elder partner rang the bell was... almost 9 years ago, first time I was in a small office in Malta, ring the bell, say, who are you? Say, we work together. I say, do we? Tell me, yes. Okay, let's know each other then. And then after a few weeks, told me, you know, Dinos, let's come together. Let's create a single company. And let's have very simple. Everyone takes equal shares. That's it. Are you in? It took not more than 10 seconds to say yes.
Wow.
Yes. Simple things usually becomes more successful. It was not a very big, fancy business plan. No. It was not a big, fancy business plan. It was just a simple, keep going. You know, life show us a way.
Mm.
If you have something that people likes it, develop it. If you have something that people don't care about it, leave it aside.
Yes. So that's how Altener came about?
That's how Altener came about.
Oh, wow.
We had difficult moments in the beginning. It was not so easy. But, you know, what was, in my opinion, this, there is no secret, but I think this, if there is a secret, is the secret that we always listen to the customer, what they need, and do everything to give feedback and make it reality. You know what is usually, every single person has a task to do, and sometimes you neglect it.
Yes.
This happens to everyone. This particular moment, if you want to have a successful business, make sure you have more than one person to follow the task.
Mm.
So if someone drops it, the other will continue.
Oh, wow.
It can happen.
I never thought about it that
yes,
way.
Yes, it can happen. You know, every single person in life has points to forget, points to neglect, because we are human beings. And because we always, sometimes we have some personal things to follow instead of delivering the task. Have more than one to do it. Make it a collective task.
Wow, I really like this style. Never thought about that that way.
The problem on the collective task is that the team has to feel responsible, one to cover the other, and not one to avoid the job and do and push it to the other.
You know, it goes back to what you said earlier about knowing yourself in an infinite universe versus knowing yourself in society.
Yes.
So if you're also aware of other people's problems, other people's tasks, it makes you understand who you are, how you can help, what is the direction that the company, that the that the branch is going towards. That's really fantastic. You know, I never thought about that.
You cannot blame someone who forgot a task. It will happen. You speak to someone and feedback is not coming because it's not collective. Actually, my customers, they felt that they should call my assistant so instead of me because they get better answers. Eventually. You know. Yes, well, this is another issue. For example, I remember as we're growing, the customers keep calling me, and then I say, sorry, guys, but say, yes, what? I have a problem. Okay, tell me, please. Because the correct thing to do in a corporate way, say, please open a ticket. That's very wrong answer. You listen to the problem and you open the ticket.
Wow. I wish even half of the companies in the world would have that type of attitude, really.
Yes. Let me explain you. Say, you listen to the problem, say, yes, let me speak to my departments and I will come back to you. Next time, they will speak to the department. Mm. If they get faster answer, if they open a ticket, they open the ticket by themselves. But you should never deny to listen to the problem and you open the ticket.
It's so important what you just said, because I think that many business leaders, when they get to a certain position, they literally get out of touch with the customers, because no, I'm not doing that. I have customer support. I have this person, I have that team, whatever. And they don't even invest the minimum time to listen to the problems who are literally happening right now.
Yes.
So that's why it's so important what you just said.
Yes. If you have created a very efficient system that is faster than you, because you're becoming slower, then it is success. And next time the customer will go to the right person, not to you. I'm happy that customers are not calling me anymore.
But if they do, you will pick up the phone.
If they call me.
I don't think I've ever talked to somebody at your position that said that he'll be happy to get phone calls by customers.
Why not? You know, I have the first customer we have is a very nice British guy. He's the first customer. Sometimes he calls me. I remember was last time he called me was Saturday, and I missed the call, and I was scared. And I called him back immediately, and he told me, "Dinos, don't worry, I call you by accident. Because your number just
I love it.
Mission accomplished. You know, if the customer calls you on Saturday by accident, this is the best reference you can get for the product.
Wow, I love it.
Yes.
So, I want to ask you, sorry, you want to say something?
No, it's okay. I can say many things, but it's all rubbish probably.
I think it's really good.
Okay.
As we're getting to the end of our conversation, I want to ask you the most important question that I ask every single one at the end of every episode. So picture this with me.
Yes.
You are 120 years old.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you are lying on your deathbed.
Yes.
Surrounded by your family, your friends, everybody that you care about. And everything that you've created in your life.
Yes.
Every email, every company, even this podcast.
Yes.
Everything is going to be disappearing.
Yes.
What would be the three essential truths that you want to share with your loved ones?
Yes.
To carry on. What would your legacy be for them in 3 points?
And I connect this question with a question my daughter made to me. It was 5 years ago. Tell me, Daddy, what's your priorities in life? And very simple. The only thing, the best thing by far from the second that I am proud of in this life is because I have 2 children. This is the essence of the civilization. So the only thing that I think it will remain from me in this world is what the ethics and the legacy I transmitted to my children. Everything else will disappear, and no one will ever remember me. So by far, I always advise people make children. As many as you can.
I can't handle
That's
this.
It. This is the essence of civilization. All the rest is nothing. Nothing. Nothing at all. It's zero. Zero.
So that's the first point.
Yes.
Have children, make children, and as many as possible.
Well.
So that's the first one. We are down to 2.
Okay. What else? That's quite hard question. You know, I was laughing because I remember, but now it's disconnecting from, because I remember say to my daughter, say, the first priority is my children, but my wife was present. So I say, the second priority is my wife.
just because she was present. Now, if she will listen to this podcast, I will be in real trouble. I remember I put third one, the people in my job. I say 4-1, my friends, but that's not, no, well, what it will remain. You know, Daniel, sorry to be pessimistic. Nothing else will remain.
Well, you know, this is actually what I live by. You see, I have this ring on.
Okay.
And it's not a marriage ring.
Okay, it's a family ring.
It's actually, yeah, it's just a ring that I like. Okay. And I got it after I read a book called A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle.
Okay.
It's a phenomenal book. And in the book, he shares a story that is like a Bible story, but not necessarily. Uh-huh. But eventually he says that there was this king that he had a ring on, that it was written on, "This too shall pass."
Okay.
And it was referring not only to the negative stuff uh-huh. that happened in life, but also to the positive stuff. Because sometimes something positive is happening to you, and instead of being present in the moment and enjoying it, you start to think, what will happen when it will be over? What will happen if I will destroy it? What will happen? And so on and so forth. So just know, everything will pass in its time.
Yes.
Yeah. So
everything.
Just be present, be here,
everything.
Be now.
You know, I always say, even with, I say, someday we may have things not the way we're dreaming. This mm-hmm. is fine. Actually, because I start from zero twice, zero is not a problem to be again. That's it.
Mm.
When I had to go, I remember I left Greece in 1999. I had $500 in my pocket and one-way ticket to South Korea.
Wow.
You have nothing to lose. That's it.
Wow. Wow.
You have nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. You have nothing to lose. You can only gain.
What did you plan to do in South Korea?
I was an engineer. I went to work to Samsung Heavy Industries as an engineer.
Wow.
Yes, that's... Wow. I left just to... And then I... 4 years later, I joined the industry.
Wow.
But as I explained to you, I studied naval architect.
Yes.
And, you know, in Europe, building ships is not a trendy job anymore. So I had to go down there, that the technology probably allows things.
Yes.
So that was it. I mean, $500 and one-way ticket. One guy was waiting me there. He showed me an apartment that is far from European standards. But that was fine. You know, that's it.
Yes.
So if you, I mean, it's not... The point that you have nothing to lose is a good point, is a good situation.
Because it allows you the liberty to
you have nothing
do whatever
to lose.
You want.
You have
yes.
nothing to lose. You just execute your ideas.
Let's see if I caught up onto everything. So the first one, have children and as many as possible. The second one was not be afraid to start again from zero, because that's when okay. you can really go and you have nothing to lose. You can only gain.
You can say so.
That was the second.
I mean, you can yeah. say so, yes. Being in zero position is a good position.
Yes. And the third one was to know that everything passes, nothing
everything
will last.
Everything passes.
Yes. So that was the third. And the fourth one, I'll give it okay. to you because we talked about it the entire time, was about listening. Listen, listen, listen,
listen. Listen.
Wow.
Listen. Everyone. Everyone can give you such a valuable information that you can't believe how valuable it can be.
Yeah, but people are very much connected to their own ideas, so it's very hard
That's
for
it.
Them to be open to somebody else's
yes,
idea.
Yes. Be prepared to change your ideas. Listen first.
Wow, I love it. Be prepared to change your ideas.
Be prepared.
This is something to live by, actually.
Yes, well, more likely if you, how to say, you evaluate your ideas and you're optimizing them, more likely you do something better in your life. That's it.
100%. Dinos, it was such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I mean, I think that someday you should make it on camera.
It's actually on camera. It's going to be on video.
Oh, fantastic.
You mean like to meet face to face and do it together?
Why not?
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to come to your place with my camera and my microphones and everything.
Why not?
And to do it live. Why not?
Let's try that.
I love it.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd love to get to know you in person, and I'd love to be a day with you to see a day in the lives of Dinos. To see how it goes.
Okay, we can go because I very often play tennis. You can come to watch me playing tennis and always losing.
Well, you need to win at some, to lose at some, you know.
We can afford to lose on tennis, don't worry.
It's not a bad thing to start from zero,
as you said. Except correct. Okay.
Dinos, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to talk to you again. And thank you to all the listeners.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
That listen to us.
Thank you.
And if somebody wants to get in touch with you, how can they get in touch with you?
It's very easy. You have email. I have WhatsApp. Feel free. Anything. I mean, I'm happy. If also there are many questions, we do another session to answer the questions.
Most definitely, yes. Q&A with Dinos.
Why not? I mean, we can even invite people to start shooting questions.
We'll start with your wife because she might have some questions after listening to
you know,
your priorities.
That would be nice.
We'll start with her and we'll take it from there.
Absolutely.
Dinos, thank you so much.
Thank you,
we'll
Daniel.
Talk again soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you.